Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, it's the new year. It's a new us. It's 2026. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. Brandon was flexing his muscles?
Did you? My arm is sore. Like I just noticed this right before we started recording. Like, my
man. That's my favorite dinosaur is the Myarmosaur.
Yeah, and you're firing on all cylinders today. I don't think people realize just how like on it you are right now. You're like bick, 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 bick. Even before we started recording, it's just like damn, like a laugh a minute.
I genuinely don't remember anything that happened before you hit record.
I don't either.
I don't think time exists outside of the start and stop of the recording.
So. My arm is sore. I don't know what it is. We'll talk.
Did you get one of them vaccinations?
No, I don't do that anymore.
Oh, good. CDC is not recommended. You weren't doing any covert operations over the weekend, were you?
I cannot say.
Is it any cool South American countries?
I can't say yay or nay. What we can talk about is ways to get a hold of us on the show. Of course, I'm Brandon. You are Travis.
Yeah, I'm still Travis. Yeah, and we didn't change hosts with the new year like everybody expected.
Yeah. But there are a few ways to get a hold of us. The first way is dow.com/Venezuela president. I don't know. That's like a very...
Do you or someone you know want to become the next Venezuelan president?
Check out...
This is not a political podcast.
Check out Fox.
Not a political podcast.
On Tuesdays, who wants to be a Venezuelan president?
All right. If you actually want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Send us emails, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. On Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. And on the web, apatheticenthusiasm.com. If you want video versions of the podcast, why wouldn't you? You could go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Like, subscribe, do all the things you do on YouTube. And finally, a big shout out to the patrons at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm who support our podcast. Just keep paying the bills. Mm-hmm. You know, those sweet, sweet patrons over at patreon.com. Let's do it again in 2026. I'm gonna see how many times I can say 2026. This is my attempt to remember the fact that it's the year 2026. Because I suffer from that thing where in mid-February I'm still writing 2025 on dates and things like that.
Yeah.
I think my brain is just dying with old age.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. This was like 2025 was so long that like it
was a long year. Yeah.
So it almost feels like it's like 2027 already. Like I wish.
If only.
I wish it was close to 2027. I've got my Apple Watch on. People on the stream can see that.
I do too.
I don't always.
Which is actually a problem because I noticed your Apple Watch the second you hit record. And that made me think, oh, my Apple Watch. And then I remembered I usually charge my watch before I go to bed so I can sleep with my watch on.
Right.
And it's not on the charger. It's on my wrist,
right.
Which means it's not getting charged right now like it should be. But that's fine.
It's fine.
How are your sleep scores been? You been getting good sleep scores with the Apple Watch?
I haven't really been looking at it yet. But here's the thing. Like, I hadn't worn my Apple Watch in months.
You're so much like my wife. You guys are so similar.
I just stopped wearing it one day, and I got like a new strap and everything, and I was like, I'll wear it more. It was like bothering my wrist, and so I lost it. I didn't remember where I put my Apple Watch. And then the other day, just a couple days ago, I was in my work laptop backpack. I was like looking for I was looking for vitamin C packets,
like emergency,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going in there. I'm like, oh, hey, there's my watch. You know, I should put this on. And so I charged it up, and then I was going through a thing where it's like, it's still irritating my wrist. Why is it so? Why do these things irritate my wrist so much? And then I'm like, what if I don't tighten it as much as I usually tighten it? Feels pretty good. Feels pretty good.
That's good. That's good.
It hasn't been irritating my arm like it normally does.
Yeah, normally if you don't tighten it so much that your hand turns purple, you can wear it throughout the day with minimal issues.
Yeah, it's just I don't know what it was. Like, I just like, cuz it says like it should be snug. But if it's not snug enough, then it's like, oh, it's like falling around and stuff like that.
Yeah, I am currently right in the kind of in between zone between two holes on the watch band, to where if I tightened it one more, it would almost be too tight. Yeah. I could close it, but now it's still not wobbling around or anything. It's still fine.
I think that might be why I like the strap more, because the standard straps that they have, you know, they've got the holes. This one, it's
Velcro.
It's Velcro. So that was like, oh, you know what?
You tactical Velcro.
I want to loosen it up just a little bit to get, so it's not as irritable on my.
Why don't you send me the link to that watch band along with our affiliate code for the Amazon?
sure.
All right. Well, welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm Reviews Watch Bands. This is the podcast where we talk about tech accessories.
Mm-hmm.
So you just started wearing the watch again.
Yeah.
Is this new for the new year? Is this your plan? Like, this is your New Year's resolution? I'm going to start wearing my Apple Watch.
No, I don't do New Year's resolutions, right? But there are a few things I want to do going into 2026, throughout 2026, I should say.
Before we jump into that, is there, and we probably talk about this every New Year's, is there a particular reason why you don't do New Year's resolutions? Are you anti New Year's resolutions for any reason, or is it just something you don't tend to think about?
I don't do them because I tend to not commit to them. And if I'm not going to commit to something, I'm not going to feign that I'm going to commit to it.
that's fair.
Oh, it's weird because I do have like so many random ass traditions and routines that I do, whereas like it would be something for me to be like, okay, I'm gonna, it's new year, that's my tradition, I got something new, I'm gonna stick with it throughout the year. No, I don't do that for this. I don't really know why. I just don't want to be a liar to myself.
Yeah, I always for a really long time sort of adhered to the common tradition of like, try to do something to improve yourself, or like, you know, like it was never like I'm gonna lose X amount of pounds or something like that, but like, I'm gonna do this much running, or I'm gonna work out this many times, or I'm gonna read 12 books in a year or in a day or whatever the average is. I don't know. I don't know how to read. But like, I saw somebody that I follow online talk about this a year or two ago about like the idea of fun resolutions, right? Like, resolutions don't have to suck. It doesn't have to be something that like you're not enjoying, but it's like, hey, what's something I really like that I want to commit to doing more, or like something like that. And that's really cool. I could say I make a New Year's resolution to like win a Lorcana set champs and then just knock it out the first weekend of the month and just call it good.
Yeah, you could try that.
I could try that. There are some like professional certifications that I want to get. So I am kind of committing this year to some self-improvement in that way with trying to get some professional certifications.
Okay, good.
But yeah, like that's it. I was kind of going to do that anyway. So it's like a cop out. Like, I'm just going to get some certs.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to work on finishing my garage, in 2026.
There you go. If you set the bar low enough, you can't fail.
It's true. And you don't like commit to the actual goal, right? You don't say like, I'm going to finish my garage. I'm going to work on finishing my garage. That way, any level of effort you put towards it, you're like, damn, that's one resolution knocked out. That's why
get one of these every day.
That's why I have. I'm
resolved to check off my resolution completion every day. There's another one.
Did you finish your resolution check off? No, I didn't. I know.
But okay. So you don't do resolutions, but like, what are some of the other things that you focus on or look forward to or. Your traditions that you're talking about.
Going into this year, I am wearing the watch. I'm not wearing the watch because it's healthier. It's
you don't have to pull out your phone when you get a text.
When I was working on my garage the other day, and yes, I am working on finishing my garage.
Congrats on your resolution.
I started it before the new year and I'm doing it into the new year. I was noticing like, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then, all right, cool. But my phone is like, it's playing music halfway across the garage somewhere else. So like, it's nice to be like, oh, I see what's going on just on my wrist and I don't have to lug the phone around. It's
the convenience of that to me. Has been a total game changer. Like there's all the health benefits and other things of like tracking metrics for everything from sleep to exercise and all that stuff. But like getting heart rate notifications and all kinds of things when you get to be our age and, you know, near death. And so you need to, know all those, but honestly, knowing just by looking at my wrist, if the reason my phone is going off is because of an actual thing I need to care about or because of some random spam text or notification from a app that I don't care about, man, it's so handy.
Yes.
So welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Everything Apple Watch. Apple Watch Enthusiasm.
We're just going to review a decades old product.
The new iOS 26 is out for the Apple Watch. And I think one of the things that interested me about getting...
We finally became a tech podcast after 10 years.
What interested me about the new iOS 26 is I can flick my wrist and it'll send that notification away. Because I know this is a small thing, Travis, but when I had the watch before and I'd get a notification and I'm like, I want you to go away. And I like move my... like on the screen, I'm like, gotta find dismiss. And like, I spend more time looking at my watch than I really want to be looking at my watch. So now I can just be like, flick, done.
I didn't even know that was a gesture. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's new. It's new, man. Yeah. Get a notification, flick.
Flick.
And you say that and then it goes away.
So the question is, and then we're going to move off of Apple Watch. I'm sure of it. Are you going to wear it to sleep or not?
Yeah, no, I've been wearing it to sleep.
Okay. So then when do you charge it?
Randomly. I don't have a routine.
You don't live by society's rules of, schedules and timelines.
I don't have a routine, man. I don't, again, like I found it like on Saturday or Friday or something like that.
This is fair. I always charge it in like the hour before I go to bed. Cause I've usually completed all my rings, done it like anything like that. That way it's nice and charged before I go to sleep. So I can track all of my sleep stuff as well. Mm. And then it stays charged overnight and throughout the next day. It freaked me out at like 10 a.m. today when I got a low battery notification. I guess it wasn't sitting correctly on the charger last night. And so, yeah, I was about to die at like 10. And I was like, I'm not going to have my watch during the day. And that's how dependent I am on technology. I had I freaked out.
I looked at my sleep app right now. And I just realized, Travis, that I got a new phone. So part of the frustration with the watch when I got it again was I had replaced my phone in between the time I last used my watch and now. And that, again, that was back in like August. I was like, how do I get this phone to pair with or this watch to pair with my new phone? And that's a whole ordeal. And I say ordeal lightly. It's just like you reset the watch, basically. If you don't have your...
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty seamless, especially if you transfer your profile to the new phone.
It's not seamless. It's not seamless if your old phone doesn't work anymore. Right? Okay. And it didn't because I put it in salt water.
Threw it in the ocean.
Anyway, so that's good. Flick the wrist. Let's see. Hey, it's Christmas is past. New Year's is here.
Nothing exciting will ever happen again.
How was your vacation? Your holiday break? Anything interesting come out of your holiday break?
I mean, we talked a little bit because we recorded between Christmas and New Year's in the void of time that does not exist.
Holiday break.
And then I didn't have a break. I mean, I guess I had New Year's Day off,
mm-hmm.
and then the day after, which was nice. We were gonna take a trip down to Dallas. We were gonna do like a day trip, road trip down there. And as the week went on last week, my kid is kind of immunocompromised. She has a lowered immune system because of cancer treatment right now. And so we have to be careful. Like, we don't want to expose her to too many germs or anything. We want to make sure that she's as healthy as possible. And like, we were planning to go down to like the Meow Wolf, like interactive exhibit things, like, you know, they have the Omega Mart in Vegas and these like weird, like surreal. You've never heard of this? You've never heard of Meow Wolf? Don't.
I'm not even trying to gaslight you. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, okay, man.
You look up Meow Wolf. I'm okay. Gonna look it up.
All right, you keep telling your story.
Meow like a cat meows. M-E-O-W wolf, like the animal. And then, yeah, so like Meow Wolf are these cool immersive experiences. I should do this so that people see that and not my recording software. But there's these, I don't know, they're like these cool like walkthrough exhibits where artists will, you know, decorate a room some crazy way. And then like, I think the one in the Dallas area, there's like a full house in it. And then
whatever the happened house to broke. Predictability,
the milk, the paper boy. Yeah. So like you go into this house and then you can kind of like, I'm still showing the website. You can like go into a room and like look for clues and different things like that. And then like, maybe like there's like a fireplace. You can actually walk in through the fireplace and then it goes out to this whole other like immersive cool exhibit and stuff like that. Anyway, they seem really cool, really artistic and stuff. My family, there's a smaller scale one that local artists put together in Oklahoma City that's pretty cool, called Factory Obscura. They all liked that. So I was like, all right, that'd be, if we're going to go do a day trip in Dallas, let's knock that out at the same time. Fast forward to numerous news articles coming out last week about how awful the flu is this year, how bad it's affecting people and how rampant it's spreading in different areas. And we decided, you know, maybe we'll put off that trip. I was the only one at the time in my family that had gotten a flu shot, even though they say it's not very effective against the strain of the flu. So, so like that, it basically completely stopped our plans for that. And we just stayed home and binge watched Netflix, and I put all the Christmas decorations away.
Okay, that's good.
And then, yeah, so that's all gone. My house looks completely empty, like we just moved in. Because every time you put all the decorations away, it just, I don't know, it feels way less decorated, I guess.
Okay.
And then I played two full days of Lorcana. I played in two Lorcana tournaments.
Did you did you win any of them?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Really? Oh, my God.
I didn't know a better way to say that, but thanks for teeing it up.
Wow.
Yeah, so you won.
You won at least one of them.
I won one of them.
Okay, yeah.
I only got third place in the other one.
Damn,
so,
damn.
So this is the smaller one.
The smaller one. You won the smaller one, right?
No, I won the bigger of the two.
Oh, like the bigger of the two that had, like, more competition, but, like, worst competition, right? So it was like it was a lot of lower tiered competitors that you beat.
I wouldn't say that. No, I don't like how you keep trying to minimize my accomplishment.
okay. Well, why don't you explain it then? You know, I'm trying here, and you're just, you know, I'm trying to build you up, and you won't let me build you up, you know.
No. Whispers in the Well, current set of Disney Lorcana. It's the last month that the set is out, so that means it's set champ season. Organized tournaments in local game stores around the world. Anyone that participates usually gets a promotional card that looks like a normal Lorcana card, but has some alternate artwork on it. This is the first time where they have done a full art card. This set featured a Daisy Duck character, Daisy Duck Paranormal Investigator. Hey, short, you like paranormal
short,
things.
Short shorts.
So this is the card everybody got. It is now a full art card. I don't know if it'll
focus
on that.
What does full art card mean?
For example, Lorcana people? This is a regular Lorcana card. There's artwork in the upper half, and then the lower half has like the name of the card and some text on it,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
We've been introduced to epic cards, which are artwork across the entire top of the card, but still has like the text and stuff at the bottom,
mm-hmm,
and then these usually have like a foil treatment on them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have enchanted cards,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, which are.
These are full art cards that also have the glossy effect on them. These were the most rare cards you could get in Disney Lorcana until the last set, Fabled.
Mm-hmm. Which they introduced half art.
The iconic cards. The iconic cards, there are only two in any set. They're super rare, and I was very fortunate to pull one of the first that came out.
How much is that card?
Raw, ungraded, I want to say it's like 750 right now.
$7,000?
If
7,500?
$750. Oh. If you get it graded, a PSA 10 goes for a couple thousand.
Jeez, man. So I'll give you $500 for that.
All right, we'll talk after the show.
You know how good I am at reselling things that I buy for to attend on selling.
How are those Star Wars cards that you bought at Comic-Con doing? You turn a profit on those?
Still in the closet.
All right. So everybody that participates gets a full art card. In the past, you only got a full art kind of enchanted promo like this one. See, it's a little bit more shiny,
mm-hmm,
not just because it's in a top loader,
mm-hmm,
but yeah, it's got kind of like a cool holographic kind of treatment
on
it. So only the top eight players in a tournament get those cards. And then if you're fortunate enough to win
Then you get one that's not shiny at all. It's matte. You get a matte colored.
you get a play mat with the same artwork on it that says champion on it. Looks like that. Another plug for youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm if you want to see what all this crap looks like. But yeah, so
that looks really cool. So like you can use that for like as like a mouse pad. Is that
yeah, you could. It is a giant mouse pad.
Okay.
Like is really what it is.
Yeah, all right.
Which means cool. You know, the value. It's weird because people pay decent money for these. The Maleficent playmat that I won in the last set. A friend of mine resold one of those for like $100.
Damn. I'll give you 15 for that one.
Caleb really wants this one.
Oh, really?
So if he can't,
$25.
I think we're gonna play. Oh, 25. Okay.
We'll
talk after the podcast.
Whatever he's asking, I'll top it.
bidding war. Awesome. I love it. So anyway, yeah, it was the first weekend of set champs. First day of the first weekend of set champs, I go to the store in my local area. There were 18 players that showed up. At least three of them I know have tickets for the Richmond Disney Lorcana Challenge next weekend, which is the big 2,000 player like pro level event. And yeah, so I played pretty well. I had one round loss out of the first five rounds. So in the fifth round, I was paired against my son, Caleb, and we both had three wins and one loss. So we were at a place where we could intentionally draw in that and still guarantee a spot in top eight. I was like, I don't want to play you. He's like, I don't want to play you. Neither of us wanted to hand each other a loss. So we just intentionally drew, got like half points, and then went and got food. Because we had been playing for over 4 hours at that point, and we were pretty hungry. So
I'm glad the story ended that way, and it wasn't like, yeah, let's just both draw, and then you destroyed him.
I'm
glad that's not how that story ended.
Well, we'll fast forward to that in a minute. So when there are over, I think, 15 players in a tournament, you cut to a top eight. If there's like 12 or less, it's a top four. So all the top eight players still get the fancy shiny card, but only the top four players will play for the play mat. If it's too small of a field. But this was a big enough, turnout to where we cut to a top eight. My first opponent in top eight, somebody I knew pretty well, and they were running a really unique, like not really popular, like meta deck. And, fortunately I was able to take care of business pretty quick in two games and get that one. Then I played against a really good player who, towards the beginning of the set, just completely annihilated me, just kicked my butt. And I was like, great, I'm going to be paired up against this guy. And we went to a game three, and it was a pretty close game three that I ended up kind of just eking out and doing what I needed to do to secure victory. He was playing a blue purple deck, which is pretty popular right now. So popular that the person I faced in the finals was also playing a blue purple deck. And I don't know if it was the fact that I had just played against that color combination, but I felt much better going into that finals game. And I ended up winning it in two games, not even going to a game three. Mm. And it was funny because on the way to the set champs, talking to Caleb in the car, and I'm like, yeah, the card's pretty cool. Like, I definitely want to get one of the cards because that's kind of one of the things I collect to show all the set champs I've played in and showing that I've gotten, you know, at least top eight in all of these different tournaments. The mats are cool because they show you've won, but like, I'm not crazy about the playmat. I don't really like, it's not like something like, whereas the last set, the Maleficent playmat, I was like, I really want it. I really like it. I like the artwork. Like, it looks cool, but like, whatever.
Daisy's no dragon.
I just want the practice. I want the practice, some competitive practice before we go into a big tournament next week. Fast forward 8 hours, and I'm walking out of the store with a play mat, a booster box of cards, and you know, and my promo card. And so yeah, it was good. The next day, a 12-player tournament. First round was paired up against Caleb, and ended up handing him the loss that I spared him the day prior on. But he ended up playing really well his remaining four matches, and ended up in top four along with me and two other players, who eliminated us in top four, and then they went on to play for the final. But really good solid weekend of card play.
So you're going to Richmond, Virginia this next weekend.
Richmond, VA.
And you're going with, would you say, a renewed vigor, renewed confident vigor for your playing?
It really did help my confidence going into this tournament for a couple reasons.
Are you rock hard, just like ready to go? Just
absolutely not. and I'll tell you why. Because like one of the people that I played on Saturday in Swiss before it cuts to the top eight players was a child. He is probably 12, maybe. I was pretty confident when I sat down I was winning that round. He's a competent player. He's a good player. But I've played with him at locals. I know his deck. It was not a favorable matchup for him. So I was just like, yeah, no, I don't anticipate my matchups in Richmond
playing
to like,
deck.
yeah. And so what I will say is, there are a number of people I played this weekend who have had very favorable like success in previous Disney Lorcana challenges. Day one of these DLCs is 8 rounds, and you have to win 6 of the 8 to make it to day two. Four of the people I played this weekend, made it to day two at the last DLC. And I did better than all but one of them this weekend. So or played against them and won. So I feel like my deck's pretty good. My knowledge of it's pretty good. I just made like a crap ton of changes to it tonight. I made a bunch of edits just based on experience on the weekend. So I have to try and get some extra practice in on that. But I do feel like even if I don't make day two, I play to a level to where I can at least not embarrass myself, I hope. I'm going to have fun either way. I'm going to spend the weekend playing Lorcana with my son. It's going to be a good time. But hopefully I can do well.
Right on, man. Yeah.
We'll have a full report next week. when I'm jet lagged after, 12 hours of travel.
That'll be great. That'll be great.
But
I will also have a full report from a trip I'm taking this weekend, Travis. That's right.
You're going to the Lorcana Challenge too?
I will see you there. I didn't tell you this before because I wanted to surprise you. I am hosting the tournament.
I know that's not true based on recent announcements, but that'd be sweet.
They wanted to keep it quiet, and so they're still trying to not spoil the surprise. I signed an NDA, which is a non-Disney agreement, where they said, hey, do not talk about this with anybody. And I was like, how about on my podcast? They're like, does anybody listen? And I said, no. They're like, that's nope. Fine.
They're like, that's safe. You can do that.
So I'll see you in Richmond.
All right. I look forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be great, and wink.
And I'll be terribly disappointed if I don't see you.
You win. And then everyone will be like, we saw you wink at him. You we saw you wink and you pointed at him and said, you are going to win. So anyway, okay. So I am going on a trip this weekend to Ohio.
Ohio?
Ohio. No, no, it's a place called Ojai in California.
Oh, Ojai, California.
Yeah. Okay. Near Solvang, which is like, people go there all the time.
California's got weird names for places, man.
They do. They do. But Chelsea and I are going. We're taking a weekend because it's our 22-year anniversary.
Look at you.
So we said, Dexter, we'll leave some food out and some water. You can stay here by at home. We'll have
your... You definitely have the benefit of a lot of grandparents within very close proximity.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
That is something I do not have access to.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. So yeah, Dex is going to hang out with Chelsea's parents, and then we're going to go to Ojai.
Ojai.
For the weekend. So that'll be nice.
Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You can book a couples massage or something. What do you?
No,
just chilling out.
I think we're just gonna chill out. Do like a wine tour. Might do like a food tour or something like that. Might just do nothing. Do nothing and be okay with it. I think that's
awesome.
It's like,
I love that for you.
And I think Chelsea is like, get Brandon away from the house, because what we've learned about the cruises in like the last 2, 3, 4 years is, you know, Brandon is he's a busybody, just like his father and his mother. I don't like sitting around doing nothing. My vacation for the holiday break, like, I slept a lot, specifically during the Twilight Zone marathon. Like, I slept a lot during the Twilight Zone marathon because I was just sitting on the couch constantly watching the Twilight Zone. But other than that, I'm like, in the garage trying to, like, I got public storage, move a bunch of stuff out of there so I can finish my garage to make it like a kind of a game room area, right? So did a lot of work in there, like, that's what I'm sore from. I've got like my tendons and I got like tennis elbow right now too from like lifting up drywall and shit like that. But like, I'm always like trying to do something. So I think Chelsea is excited because it'll just be her and I. And I have to relax.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. Well, I'm excited for you guys. That's fun. Well, I'm trying to plan a trip for Sheena and I for our anniversary in a month. But we may have to be flexible on schedule. Mm-hmm. But anniversary trips are a good time. So congratulations.
Thanks.
All right.
It's fun. Kind of funny side story, not necessarily about the anniversary, but I was, you know, first day back to work. It's the 5th of January. And so I'm in a bunch of meetings, and like, my computer is my work computer is crashing a lot. So I was like, I need to take these meetings. The work computer's crashing. I'll just take it from my phone. So I have phone on speaker. So Chelsea's like working on like this little piece of art kind of to the side. She's listening in, and these two women who I work with, they're talking on Teams, and they're like, what did you do during the break? Oh, I went to Italy. Oh, I love Italy. Oh, really? Like, how many times you've been? Oh, this is our 5th time being there. Like, oh, one of my favorite cookie places is in Italy. Oh, really? Where at? Oh, blah, 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 della cookie or something like that. Oh,
della cookie.
I wish I knew, I would have gotten it for you. Next time I go there, I'll grab you one. And Chelsea's like, la-dee-da. Ooh, I've been to Italy multiple times. Guess what? We went to the bowling alley on one end of the city, and then we went to the bowling alley on the other end of the city. That's what we do. Ooh, my favorite cookie place is in Italy.
Were you muted for the call?
Yes, I was.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. No, I'm very, very cognizant about the mute button.
I can imagine that going terribly wrong otherwise. But I hope to one day make adult money. I probably won't go to Italy multiple times, but I mean, I'd like to go once, maybe. You know, check it out.
One time I'd like to go.
See how their Sbarro is and just some authentic slice.
I want to do New Zealand. You know, that's what I want to do. New Zealand.
That'd be fun. I have a lifelong kind of bucket list. If I could do any trip type thing. And this is so incredibly Disney nerdish.
Venezuela.
Just to go travel. Nailed it. I want to go and assume power in Venezuela. You know, take over the oil reserves. It's visit every Disney theme park around the world.
Oh.
So it gets harder because they keep making more of them. So when I was a kid, it was like Disneyland, Disney World, Euro Disney, now Disneyland Paris. And then there was one in
Japan,
like Tokyo Disney. It's like four parks. Now there's one in Hong Kong. They're in China. They're building one in like Dubai now. So many trips I would have to take. But it'd be fun.
It would
see all the different castles.
It would be fun, man. That'd be really cool to do.
So, yep. Just got to win the Powerball, which is hard because I do not play the Powerball.
It is a wonderful fantasy to have, Travis, and I hope you realize it someday. But in the meantime, before we realize that fantasy, you made a purchase. You made a new video game purchase, a fantasy game purchase. That's right. You bought Baldur's Gate 3.
Final Fantasy VII Remake. That's right. That's clearly the one you're talking about. I did. After a lot of convincing, which was just like, hey, do you want to play this game? That was about all the convincing it took.
Travis,
I did.
Come on. Please play this game.
All right, fine. I'll stop playing Final Fantasy VII so that I can get Baldur's Gate. The funny thing about it is it was on sale because of like PlayStation Store's end of year sale or whatever. Like, so it was like probably like 40 something bucks instead of 60 or something, like 45. I don't remember. But I hit purchase. I buy the game, and probably within 10 minutes, Sheena walks in with a $25 PlayStation Store gift card. Like, oh, hey, I forgot I had this. Can you use it? Do you want it? I was like, yeah, I'll use it. It would have been really handy about 15 minutes ago. But yeah. Anyway, so now I get to buy another game. If you have recommendations, hit us in the comments. Let me know
Baldur's
what game
Gate
I should get
3.
For PlayStation. I already got Baldur's Gate. Oh, and shit. In fact, I don't know. I feel, did we talk about this on the podcast or did we just talk about it afterwards about Baldur's Gate having crossplay and the ability for us to start a game together despite us having different equipment?
We started talking about crossplay, right? But we hadn't actually played at that point in time.
No, yeah. But we've played now.
But we've played now. So on my Series X, Dexter and I, we played split screen. And he has Baldur's Gate on the PC. So he can go to PC. We could do crossplay, PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. But he enjoys sitting in the same room with me as we're talking. By the way, one of the problems we ran into with that was like the voice chat. We're having issues with the voice chat between the three of us on Xbox. I think I figured it out. I think it had to do with the profiles that were assigned to the controllers and stuff like that.
Okay.
But so we should be able to figure that out. But anyway, so it was split screen, me and Dex, and then you are on your own screen. it was fun. Like, Dexter and I had been playing it. We'd played for like maybe 20 hours throughout the holiday break. And then we restarted so we can start the campaign with you. And it's fun, right? I picked a character I'm not used to playing. I had to remind Dexter every once in a while, and he's in the other room right now, so he probably hears me saying this, like, remember, Travis hasn't played this game as many times as we have. Don't rush through everything because he still needs to experience things too.
I did feel like I hope I'm not holding you guys back, because I had played Baldur's Gate about halfway through on my computer before my computer just lost its will to live and couldn't support it anymore. And so I'd played the game, but I played on PC. And so the interface, the UI is very different with a controller than it is keyboard and mouse. So I was like, oh wait, how do I dash? And then I was like, oh, hit this button. And then you're like on an Xbox controller, so you're like, hit the X button.
My Y, like, is your is triangle. It, my A is your X.
Does he mean his X or my X?
My X is your circle. No, yeah, square.
Yeah.
My X is your square, because your square is on the left, right?
Growing up and never being a PlayStation owner, this has been the hardest thing for me to start playing and like getting used to, because especially on games where there's like timed triggers where it's like a sequence where it's like, okay, there's a countdown timer, and then you have to hit square at the right time and then hit circle at the right. And I'm like, I don't remember which one that is yet. I sound like a old person.
That's what really throws me off. Not with PlayStation, because I had a PlayStation. Xbox doesn't throw me off. When I go to the Switch, that is when it really, really, really fucks me up. Because I think, because they're like, the Switch does have some similar button combination. Like it has an X and it has an A and a B. But they're in different positions. So when it's like, all right, you're playing a game. It's not even like a trigger-based game. It's just like a press this button to continue. And then I press that button and it goes to the menu. I'm like, fuck, damn it. Right.
That's not what I wanted at all.
That is more of a reprogramming for me, because it's too similar.
Yeah. Yeah. I admittedly have not played a ton on the PlayStation to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about that Backbone device that I got for Christmas. I've significantly upped my time on the PlayStation because of that device. And then because of playing Baldur's Gate with you, because we ran a pretty, you know, it's like probably like 3 hours we played or something like that.
Yeah, it was good.
It was fun. Unfortunately, I can't play this upcoming weekend. but we'll get back to, you know, our little party at some point.
I can't either, coincidentally.
Yeah, you're going to Ohio.
That's right. But I can't do it next weekend either, because I'm going to Las Vegas for that No Effects.
Are you gonna go to the Meow Wolf out there?
No, I'm gonna get a tour from the NoFX drummer Smelly Sanders as they go over the NoFX.
Maybe
history.
He wants to go to Omega Mart with you. Well, which is the Meow Wolf.
I'll ask him. I am excited about the NoFX thing because it is like he did like a little Facebook ad thing where he's like, hey, you know, 16th, 17th, and 18th, come on out if you're available. I'm doing tours. You know, it's gonna be good. Like, I'm gonna walk you through and like very, very heartfelt. He's like, you know, like I get really deep into like how much punk rock means to me, how much it's meant to me, and you know, like I get very emotional and very sensitive about this stuff, and so you know, it's gonna be special. You know, come on out. And so I'm like, because I was a little intimidated. I'm like, oh man, like I'm a NoFX fan, right? But I'm not a NoFX super fan that like I know every single one of their songs, every single one of the lyrics. That's always what I feel about when I go to a show, is like I am enjoying the hell out of the music, but I don't know all of the words like everybody else behind me does. And I say behind me because I've made my way to the front of the pit.
Because you rush to the front and then you stand like this.
Yeah.
To block people out.
Get out. Get out. But anyway, so I'm excited about that. But anyway.
I am excited for you. That seems really fun. Yeah.
Now, so Baldur's Gate, that was really fun. Like that was an enjoyable experience. Again, like trying to like keep it slowing down a little bit. That way you can experience it with us as well. But you know, combat is good. I enjoy it. It's a nice little D&D thing for us to do together.
It is as close to D&D as I've gotten in a long time, save for maybe our Stranger Things rewatch, which there was a moment when I was like, hey, family. D&D family. Let's do a one shot. And she just looks at me like, no. No. I'm like, okay, all right, maybe not.
You know, what sucks is a couple weeks ago, Dexter, he had some friends who wanted to do D&D before, and then he hadn't talked to them for a little bit, and then one of his friends was like, hey, we're gonna get the crew back together, let's do a D&D thing. Dexter's like, oh, that's great, I'll be the DM, like I'll do a campaign or a one shot, stuff like that. He was super excited about it. Like I helped him like put some of the map together and all that type of good stuff. And so the day of came, scheduled, went. Two of the three friends did not show up. They're like, oh, we got caught up doing granted, you know, they're 13, 14, right? So he was kind of disappointed because he's like, he could have put more work into it, to be honest, but he's like, for a 13-year-old, he put a lot of work into it. And he's like, they said they wanted to play and then they're the ones who didn't show up. So it kind of sucks.
That I have never been part of a D&D group that, for one, played in person like that or tried to regularly, but hearing the horror stories of people that are like struggling to get a D&D campaign like up and running and consistent just because of scheduling conflicts and people not showing up. So I feel like that's the hardest part about the game.
Yeah.
Like the game itself, once you learn the mechanics of it and stuff, like you can figure out the dice rolls and add and subtract different abilities and stuff. But like getting five nerds to the same house for, you know, 3 hours, that can be tough. It can be tough. So
yeah,
feel for him. It's a bummer that, especially for a DM that does put in so much work to try and make something that's enjoyable for everybody else as well.
Yeah, really tough. I think for a DM, I liken it to like a songwriter or somebody who's writing scripts or books. You know, like that's a lot of yourself that you put into those things. And for people to either ignore it or shit on it or, you know, like not respect it. You know, it stings, it does sting. And it's like, it may not be a personal slight, but it feels personal that you kind of ditched me like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, Baldur's Gate 3 this weekend. I'll see you there, Travis. In other news, what
I know you won't. I said no. Here's the thing, Bob Carroll. You're probably listening to this. Uh-huh. I don't know if you're listening to it before or after I'm in Richmond. You live in Virginia.
Mm.
I am rarely in the same state as you and not getting dinner with you at some point. And I need to mend that. That's a weird sentence. anytime I'm like in Bob Carroll's area, we're like, hey, let's meet up for dinner or something. I don't know logistically if we can make that happen. I should text him. If he's available Thursday, maybe we can hang out Thursday.
Yeah.
But yeah, outside of that, I'm going to be playing so much cards. And when I'm not playing cards, I'm going to be exhausted from playing cards. I'm going to want to, like, I had people in my local area that a few of them are getting an Airbnb out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, like, I mean, you're not staying with us, but you can come out and like, we're going to be playtesting at the Airbnb. I was like, so you want to play more Lorcana when we're not playing Lorcana so that we can play more Lorcana?
The playtesting.
Like, I mean, you guys are really good, so something must be working. But
if you don't make it to day two, then maybe, right? Like playtesting some cards at you, you know, like see what's coming up. That's cool, yeah. Right?
Or even just to go and like help them to have just be an opponent for them to play against into. For them to practice different,
and I think that lines and stuff. That'd be cool to you know, it's like a little bit of a decompression for you in that case, because you're not competing really anymore. Like now you're just playing again to enjoy the game. But the playtest aspect of it is kind of cool. The reason I wouldn't want to do that unless I lost the first day is I don't want to like jack up my brain trying to like reconfigure the wiring to understand different mechanics if I'm playing like errata type of things. Like, well, this mechanic will show up in a future set, but it's not there yet. I would be afraid that would mess
up.
But
we're not playtesting anything experimental. We're not playtesting anything that's not legal. Oh. It's literally running games against each other and testing out scenarios so that you're more prepared to deal with it in
okay so it's sorry I'm thinking playtest in the traditional sense of like unreleased things they're part of the playtest community.
No, not that kind of stuff. Which would still be cool. That would be cool and fun to check out. I'm not in that inner circle at all, but but that's kind of what is
Ink Play Pass.
has not released a video in 4 months. I don't think it was a channel 4 months ago, but anyway. All right. Anything else to talk about?
Video game wise, I have been playing Borderlands 4 with Dexter. We do this thing where we like, hey dad, you want to play a game? Like, yeah, let's do it. And then we sit on the couch and we go into the Xbox store, tuk, 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 scroll through it all, tuk, 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 tuk. This one, nah, it doesn't look good, tuk, 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 tuk. Oh, what's that one? Oh no, that doesn't look good, tuk, 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 tuk. And it got to the point where it's like, oh, Borderlands 4. He's like, I wouldn't mind playing Borderlands again. Like, probably Borderlands 3. I like the characters more in Borderlands 3. And I'm like, yeah, but I've played Borderlands 3. If I want to play a Borderlands, I want to play a new one. So I got him Borderlands 4. So he's playing that on his Xbox. And I'm like, well, I mean, I've got to play it too. So I got Borderlands 4 for my Xbox. And so him and I have been playing that. And it's nice. It's a nice, like, easy game to like get in and just like, I'm gonna start shooting shit. I'm looting stuff. Now we're jumping around, we're killing stuff. All right. Same time tomorrow. Let's do it. Cool.
That's good.
It's a nice low threat type of game to play, because you're killing stuff just to get guns.
I'm sure the like Final Fantasy like fans will come at me in the comments for playing the Final Fantasy VII remake and not like, oh, it's not the whole game. It's only part of it, and the combat's different. Like, honestly, it's the perfect Final Fantasy for me. I get some Final Fantasy story. I'm introduced to these characters that I've seen at comic cons, but never really knew anything about them.
In your Kingdom Hearts playthroughs,
I have it set to like easy, so the combat's not even that hard, and I just kind of am like button mashing my way through the story, and it's been great. I'm enjoying it. Being an eco terrorist, it's just. That part's a little strange to me. But, you know, I'm a merc. I'll do it for the money or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cloud is going to let his oil companies run.
Okay. Last thing before we get out of here. We've talked a lot about fantasy. Last week was the end of the fantasy football season for our mutual fantasy football league. One of the things that we committed to doing a little bit as a joke at the beginning of the season was to record short. Initially, we said like 10-minute recap episodes. So we have every week after we have recorded this podcast, we have stopped recording and recorded a video podcast recapping the week of the Southwest Football League for just the people in the league. We filmed the finale last week. Congratulations to the aforementioned Bob Carroll for winning the league. I don't know how you cheated, but I'm sure you did. There's no other possible explanation for how you were so victorious.
Deflate Bob Gate.
Yeah. Okay.
Like Deflate Gate. Well, you remember that?
Yeah. We'll workshop it. Yeah. We'll get that.
Bob Gate.
But it occurred to me that, you know, we're wrapping this episode up. We're not going to have another half hour podcast to record as soon as we get done.
Like, I know.
We're getting some time back here, honestly.
Yeah, man.
I can order
pizza for Dexter now.
Hey, all right. But it was a lot of fun. I'm very excited about doing that next year. I think some people were actually pretty interested in us like hosting the draft, like being podcast hosts for the draft.
Really?
I think it was just
that must have been
cool-y.
That must have been a joke. Nobody gives a shit about what I say, especially.
I think Cooley does. And then I think George, who's not in the league anymore, but still watches every episode. I liked how he said he was kept commenting because he's trying to get a rising fan badge on Facebook for the league.
That's funny.
Anyway, good stuff. Shout out to all of the fellow football nerds in the league, though I know none of you listen to this, and at least two of you probably never watched the podcast that we specifically recorded for the league. So all good.
Well, you know, Travis, what I want to say, I know we're winding down this new episode, first episode of 2026. I just think it's going to be a wonderful year. Good things are going to happen. Gas prices are going to go down.
Probably. They were under $2 in Oklahoma over the holidays.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
When it gets down to under $2 in California, then I know I'm about to die. I know I'm on my deathbed at that point in time. But 2026, good year. Good tidings to you, Travis. Good tidings to all of our fans out there and your families. You know,
Old Lang Syne and whatnot.
Yeah. To keep. Oh, you know, actually, before we do go out, have you been keeping track of the Doomsday teaser trailers?
I saw the Steve Rogers one.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the Thor one?
I saw it was leaked. Was it officially released? I feel like I watched it. I know that he had like a kid that he was, you know, defending.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And did you see the X-Men one?
No. Is that officially out?
You didn't see the X-Men one? All right. I don't know if it's officially out yet, but it is the actual X-Men one. And it is, they're going through the X-Mansion. You see Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart. And then it cuts to a scene where Cyclops is doing, in like his classic X-Men outfit, doing like an optic blast, and he's like, he's yelling in agony, like shooting optic blast up into the sky. It's so bitchin' looking.
I'm looking for one on the official Marvel Studios. Thanks to everybody for sticking around. Marvel Entertainment. Don't play it yet.
Don't play it yet. Don't play it yet.
Official clips, official videos. Oh, Wonder Man. The Wonder Man trailer. Oh,
yeah,
that's what you're talking about.
That one.
And it looks like on Marvel's YouTube, they only have the Steve Rogers and...
So we're only doing official ones just in case it's AI. Is that
yeah, and I haven't watched it.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's why I haven't seen it. But
okay.
But I will probably have to go watch that fake one that you're talking
about. Yeah. Scott Marsden looking.
That's probably very real.
Looking so good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm so excited to watch that movie in a year.
Yeah. I mean, they're counting down to doomsday, you know.
It's true. It is very interesting because the slump that Marvel has been in is because we haven't had a cohesive storyline that's led up to an Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything that led to Endgame was like this great, you know, woven tapestry that culminated in some great movies. And then there was like a bunch of strands left over. And now it's like, okay, we're going to try and weave them back all together. Mm-hmm. and kind of reset here. And so I'm optimistic that it's going to go well, bringing back a lot of those stars from the earlier movies. It's going to help.
Yeah.
But I am a little bummed that they have to rely on that as well to kind of, because they weren't able to in the more recent phases to like solidify a cast that could be that next version of Avengers. Or
yeah.
Something like that.
So. I think I'm excited about a lot of it. Not excited about Robert Downey Jr. being Dr. Doom still.
I'm kind of with you there.
Like,
yeah.
Like, cool. It feels like a stunt, bringing everyone else back and then RDJ, like, I don't know, but you're going to have to prove me wrong, I guess. You're going to have to prove it to me why this is a good idea. And I mean, we'll see if it sticks to landing, but then we have Secret Wars after that. So he's not going to be gone. I can't imagine he's going to be gone after, Doomsday.
Yeah, be interested. We will do complete coverage of the film, in December of 2026.
We're spending the entirety of 2026 talking about Doomsday. We're just going to repeat.
Assuming we're still here when that comes out. So, all right. That's going to do it. Thank you so much to everybody for listening. If you are listening to this in the audio format, sorry for all the visual things earlier. But please rate, review, and share the podcast with somebody. That always helps us out. If you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, hit the bell notification so you can get updates every time we release new videos. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.